Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you again the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message on the milk of the Word. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading verses 2 to verse 9. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Verse 3. "If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Verse 4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Verse 6. "Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him should not be confounded." Verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Verse 8. "And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The word sincere in Strong's is number 97. It's from other words which means undeceitful, or that is unadulterated or sincere. The milk of God's word is conviction. You have to desire it and not make excuses. It might be the reason you are judging or reacting. Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy word is truth." The purpose of his word is sanctification, so that we grow up spiritually and become a functional part of the body of Christ. We are to be directed by him as Lord and live in his marvelous light. We are not to live in sin and darkness anymore using our natural minds. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." There are two methods taught today about growing up spiritually. One works and the other does not. The most common approach is to use the mind to study, digest, and analyze the Bible. This method allows you to use your own mind, be Lord of your own life, and make judgments. You can make an offering, but you don't have to become a living sacrifice. The church ignorantly has been learning principles in the Bible, trying to be perfect instead. This is not based on grace through faith. David said in Psalms 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, wilt thou not despise. The only way that works is to become like a little child, getting his presence by grace through faith first. To abide, you have to respond to conviction, repent, hear, and do whatever God directs. If you come out, you get back in immediately and learn what caused you to get out. This does not require thinking, but submitting to the chastening of God through the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Those abiding in Christ use the grace and truth to remove the devil's lies. You must believe it is possible to grow up in his presence and not faint when you're corrected by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 7. This is Hebrews chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? We are called to be a peculiar people who do not react to what is going on around us, but overcome trials and temptations by submitting ourselves to God. For more information on the two ways to God, please refer to chapter 5 in the book Sound Doctrine on Two Ways to God by Joseph Hedgecock. Peter warned everyone to desire the milk of the word and grow up spiritually rather than use their minds. Peter was a fisherman, not a theologian. On the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke to the crowd. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. This is Acts chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people were not baptized on the day of Pentecost, but only those who receive Peter's word gladly. Those who have invested in this world cannot receive the word with gladness. Peter told people to save themselves from the corruption in man's method of learning. In the church, you may have tasted the goodness of God by receiving the forgiveness of sins, but did not stop sinning. Those still sinning have not allowed the Spirit of truth to show them the root of sin and made excuses instead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Jesus is the example of self-denial for every disciple. Jesus was faithful to God's perfect will, despite Jewish opposition and the devil. He is now Lord because he humbled himself and died on the cross, willingly. He did not just die, he had to qualify to die on the cross. All of God's commands now come through Jesus. He is the mediator between God and those with a heart after God, trying to do the perfect will of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not a mediator for those who use the grace to live in the flesh and make excuses for sin. Peter said in Acts chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, we read, this is Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. There is now no excuse for sin. Everyone should confess their sin, submit to God, and obey the Holy Spirit as part of their repentance, or perish. Just confessing your sin is not enough to be saved. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. It's not just committed sins. Sin is also failing to do the things God planned for your life that you were sent here to do. We read in John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Obedience to the Spirit is the foundation for everything in God's kingdom, since God is love. To not obey is to doubt God is love. The pressure on the narrow way is not comfortable for the flesh, but you will not fall asleep spiritually. You have to listen to God's wisdom to stay on the narrow way. James said in James chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. This is James chapter 3, starting verse 15. This wisdom that descends not from above is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Revelation or knowledge of the word by the conviction of the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. Using the grace and applying the truth, you will gain knowledge of the truth. You get wisdom and spiritual understanding when you seek to obey God first by faith, using the precious promises. The devil or this world cannot corrupt God. So when you listen to God and obey, you will not end up in the devil's trap. God will not try you beyond your ability to obey. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. This is James chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Those who have the Holy Spirit now have access to the word of truth, so they can be like Christ on the narrow way. If you have not dealt with your flesh up to now, repent and humble yourself. If your flesh is still comfortable, it is because you are listening to a voice that says you can serve God and mammon. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It's only your unwillingness to deal with your flesh that keeps you from needing milk again and again. Grow up and do not be like a baby complaining every time something is uncomfortable for your flesh. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Verse 13, for every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There are different levels of maturity, and no one will ever reach God's level of understanding with their mind. But those who are submitted to the Spirit will have their senses exercised by God and have learned through repentance. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. At every level, you can hear, trust, and obey, and grow up without using your mind. The difficulties increase, but so does the grace. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Depend on his word daily, and because you are obeying, you get his power, and eventually the Spirit will take control. Start with the milk of the word. Those making excuse for using their mind when Jesus comes back will be left behind. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verses 23 to 26. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. God never planned for his servants to argue and debate issues. We have access to truth instead. The Spirit will also bear witness to the truth. Through the Holy Spirit, you will have access to the truth. If you have put to death the flesh, you will hear what God is saying easily. If you are processing God's commands by consulting your mind, you will not come to truth. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The milk of the word can be obeyed instantly because it comes from God. You are supposed to live by responding to thoughts from God. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I'm starting in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. If you love him, you can now show your love by instant obedience through the milk of his word. If you try to obey a thought from the enemy, you will get a grieving of the Holy Spirit if you're living in the light. He will show you how the devil got access. You can then resist the devil and close the devil's access through repentance. This is the way to respond spiritually to thoughts with the help of the Holy Spirit. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The devil has to appeal to your flesh to control and imprison you. If the devil comes to the way that seems right, you will get a grieving of the Spirit if you try to obey immediately. But if you start thinking and processing thoughts with your mind, you will be drawn away by the lust of the flesh, quench the Spirit, and sin. Using your mind quenches the Holy Spirit so that you do not hear the Spirit grieving. Thinking is a bad habit that quenches the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life of what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body and what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than clothes?" You need to hear God fast enough to make decisions. The speed at which you are walking spiritually is the speed at which you can still hear God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." If the Holy Spirit is grieving before you do something, then you should stop or slow down first. You are not doing God's perfect will, and you need to hear from Him first before proceeding. Jesus also said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The devil will keep you busy. If you are trying to serve God and money, it is impossible, and you will be stressed. Your mind will never be renewed if you keep using it to make decisions. Those who consult their own mind are independent from God and do not trust God with all their heart. We read in Psalms 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." Your mind needs to be still so that you can hear from God. You now have an invitation to walk in the truth. John said in 3 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is 3 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Verse 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Verse 3. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as that thou walkest in the truth." Verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Those walking in the light, abiding in Him, can ask the Lord any question and get an answer immediately through the Holy Spirit. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 5. "And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." If you have a natural education like Nicodemus, you will never understand the things of God. Flesh and spirit are incompatible. The world is trying to come to truth using their minds. The world has to keep changing their theories based on new evidence. But in the kingdom of God, we start with truth in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus also said in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, this is John's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. verse 8. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell when it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Those led by the Spirit appear like the wind to those who are in the flesh. Nicodemus assumed that he can understand Jesus' teaching with his mind. This is arrogant. Even if you are born again, you have to start with simple obedience and learn to walk with God. You will not even know what to ask, so the Holy Spirit has to help you. With God's help, you will ask the right question as well as understand his answer and be led by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. This is Romans chapter 3. I'm studying verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. The flesh is the human nature making decisions without God. God designed mankind to trust in him and not rely on what he knows. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. And it should be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. When God created Adam, he spoke clearly. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eat thereof you shall surely die. In the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition, in chapter 6, on page 55, Joseph Hedgecott writes, your lordship is rooted in the fallen, sinful nature. In your lordship, you decide what is right or wrong from your natural mind. Adam and Eve received the sin nature when they rebelled against God's authority. Instead of obeying God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they decided to do what they wanted. They listened to Satan instead of God. Pride entered their hearts at that moment. Since that time, pride has continued to separate every person from God. The only way to live in the Spirit and completely destroy your flesh is to continuously deny your lordship and submit to Jesus Christ instead. Jesus' lordship produces righteousness and fellowship with God. Your pride and lordship lead to sin and spiritual death. After just one act of disobedience, Adam and Eve could not get back in God's presence. Adam was separated from God and contaminated through sin. Adam was created with a human spirit in the image and likeness of God to connect him to God. Adam's connection was lost through disobedience and a selfish desire for wisdom just to make things more comfortable for his flesh. Since that separation, man has become corrupt and always self-seeking. But God is not self-seeking because he is love. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you want to do the will of God, then enter the kingdom, change your attitude to sin, and get all the help you need. Those born again have to choose between two options, like Adam. Choose between the narrow way and the broad way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Those on the broad way make decisions, have a confidence in the flesh, using their own mind. Adam and Eve did not die instantly, but died spiritually by taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you keep using your mind, you will also die. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The kingdom of God is already here now for those who want to live dependent on his word by the Spirit. Those who are still sinning need to wake up spiritually and stop deceiving themselves by making excuses. Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through this pandemic, carnal Christians woke up to the signs of the last days and realized Jesus is coming. However, as the world is returning back to semi-normal, they are falling asleep again. You need to wake up to righteousness by obeying the Spirit like a little child. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 14, I'm reading, wherefore he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Through the milk of the word, you need to be ready to serve and be fitly joined together with others who are walking on the narrow way and have the fruit of repentance. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14, I'm reading to verse 16. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 2, on page 37, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if he is not the head, the authority, you cannot function in his body as you should. Stop and meditate on this. You are not a viable part of Christ's body if he is not your head and in complete control. If he is not your Lord, you cannot abide in the kingdom of God. Your lordship moves you out of Christ's nature because in the flesh you are the head. Abiding in God's kingdom is not automatic at salvation. Kingdom living has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. It has to do with where you are, in the kingdom or in the flesh. Only in the kingdom can you be righteous and produce godly fruit. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, then you cannot grow up into Christ. Everything comes from the head, and the body responds, so that the whole body is edified, not just one part. If you are not connected to the head, then you cannot be a functional part of the body of Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, so then that are in the flesh cannot please God. In the book The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 8, on page 71, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the devil uses pride, habits of the flesh, and unbelief to keep you from having communion with your Father. Your flesh disqualifies you from receiving the gift of eternal life. Fellowship with God is part of your inheritance. But you cannot enjoy this gift if you are imprisoned by sin and Satan. God gave you a free will because he created man to have a relationship with him based on pure love. If you yield to the flesh, you have chosen to be selfish because your mind was not designed to make decisions. You were given free will just to make one decision, to follow Christ. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God gave us a brain so he could put his laws in us instead, so we would not sin. First, remove all the programs and junk that you put in your mind serving the devil, trying to meet your own needs. God will remember your sins no more when you have removed the unbelief and the reason you are still disobeying God. Jesus is keeping records, and the books will be opened in the last great judgment on the world and on those who are not part of the first resurrection. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm starting verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is the only verse in the Bible that promises you will never perish. It is for those using the gift of eternal life to hear, get to know, and follow Christ. This is an article from Christianity Today. After his conversion, Charles Finney, the American evangelist, prepared for ministry in the Presbyterian Church and was ordained in 1824. Hired by the Female Missionary Society of the Western District, he began his missionary labors in the frontier communities of Upper New York. A rigid Calvinism dominated the theological landscape, but Finney urged his listeners to accept Christ openly and publicly. His style differed too. His messages were more like a lawyer's argument than a pastor's sermon. At Evans Mills, he was troubled that the congregations continuously said they were pleased with his sermons. He set about to make his messages less pleasing and more productive. At the end of his sermon, which stressed the need for conversion, he took a bold step. "You who have made up your minds to become Christians and will give your pledge to make your peace with God immediately should rise up." The entire congregation, having never heard such a challenge, remained in their seats. "You have taken your stand," Finney said. "You have rejected Christ and his gospel." The congregation was dismissed and many left angry. To follow Christ, there are conditions. And if you continue using your mind, you are rejecting God's grace and the gift of eternal life that includes the ability to hear God. You are the same as those people getting angry who would not stand up in New York after listening to Charles Finney. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm starting in verse 23. "And he said to them all, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.' Verse 24. 'For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.' Verse 25. But what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? You were called to be salt and light. And if you're not following Christ, others will not follow. If others see you looking after your own interests, they will not believe the good news. They might believe if they see you enjoying abundant life because you're following Christ." Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9. "I am the Lord. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10. "And the thief comes not but to steal, and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus is the door, and he's also the shepherd. If he is your shepherd, he leads and you follow. The abundant life God offers is based on establishing Jesus Christ as functional Lord of your life and becoming mature by being faithful. Maturity is demonstrated by not doing anything for yourself, even when tempted or under pressure to compromise. In the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Edgecott writes, "The root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests, but instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Doing anything you want or desire will separate you from God and make you a slave to sin again. Carnal Christians believe lies that God is the problem, and sinning is just having a bit of fun now and again. Some believe a lie that you can do one more sin and still stop. Those addicted to smoking cigarettes and taking drugs also believe the same. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 30 to 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 30. And he spoke these words, and many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." Verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 33. They answered him and said, "Well, we are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou we shall be made free?" Verse 34. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." In the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition, in chapter 9, on pages 78 to 79, Joseph Edgecott writes, "Some types of bondage are more evident than others. Alcohol and drug addictions have obvious consequences. The destruction produced by this type of bondage is far-reaching and suffered by the addict and those who love them. You may not see the extent of your imprisonment if your bondage is not as obvious. You may be in bondage to anger, fear, self-righteousness, jealousy, impatience, self-pity, lack of love for others, and worry. Many other sins can entrap you as well. You may have made minimal efforts to overcome your sinful habits, but when you become uncomfortable, you stop trying to repent. You might have excused your lack of repentance because you judged that your sins were not that serious. Do you look at your fleshly habits from a natural perspective or see them from God's viewpoint? If you ask him how he views your sins, you will begin to see what it costs you in your relationship with him. You are supposed to live by faith and pray as you were taught. If you do what God directs, he provides what you really need. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." You are supposed to pray that his name is kept holy, that his will is done, for his kingdom to come. If you're following Christ, you can pray for daily food and pray for God to close doors of opportunity where you might be tempted to sin and discredit his name. But you cannot pray like this if you are listening to what your flesh wants. Now, through the gift of eternal life, on the narrow way, you have another option. By faith, God makes a way where there is no way. If you deny yourself and take up your cross daily, he can put those answers in your mind by the Holy Spirit. When he is making the decisions, they are right because he can see the end from the beginning. Whatever the outcome, it is right because he is love. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. I'm reading the book of Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. For many walk of whom I have told you and often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can only be your Saviour if he is your Lord. Jesus sanctified himself by submitting himself to the Father's plan to die on the cross. You are sanctified by submitting yourself to God also, and all the chastening and correction that's necessary to finish your race. Church leaders today are ashamed of the cross and will tell you, God gave you a brain, he expects you to use it. Many leaders will not get on the narrow way and keep the flesh comfortable serving money instead. You should have a desire for truth. If you do, then you will get on the narrow way because this is where you will find life. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Without the rightly divided word and conviction, no one will ever complete their salvation. We obey God by faith, and understanding comes later. God's ways are not man's ways. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Noah Webster in 1828 defined milk as a white fluid or liquor secreted by certain glands in female animals and drawn from the breasts for the nourishment of their young. The colostrum in milk is vital to the newborn calf as it contains antibodies, also known as immunoglobulins. To provide immunity, it is also rich in essential nutrients to provide energy for growth. The milk of God's word is essential for growth, as it's part of your foundation. You have to be willing to change everything and anything that is not in conformity to the will of God in thought, purpose, or action for your life. The milk of the word is the living word extracted from the written word for each person by the Holy Spirit. None of us know what part of Scripture applies personally except the Holy Spirit, who has the mind of God. Peter was speaking about desiring the milk of the word. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, you should be laying aside five things if you desire the milk of the word. Number one, malice. The word malice in Strong's is number 2549. It comes from another word which means badness, that is subjectively depravity. But it also can mean evil or trouble, even naughtiness and wickedness. Noah Webster in 1828 defined malice as extreme enmity of heart or male violence, a disposition to injure others without cause, from mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge, unprovoked malignity or spite. you are listening to a wrong voice if you think no one sees your reaction to the truth. You cannot hide hatred in your heart from God. Enmity in your heart can stop you from hearing his voice. You might also not see the consequence of behaving badly in any situation. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" In the Kingdom of God Now, in chapter 7, on page 82, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Many of you don't trust God, and you won't believe his word, but you will trust the devil and believe what he says." Truth comes from God. It does not come from the preacher. You make God your enemy by rejecting the truth and accepting what the devil says instead. If you're offended at the preacher, you're actually offended at the one who sent the preacher and the Holy Spirit who was directing the person that God used to bring conviction. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 6, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Number 2, guile. The word guile in Strong's is number 1388. It means probably to decoy, that is to entrap, to delude, or to trick or bait, with craft, deceit, or to do things subtly. Those with guile deceiving others subtly are serving sin and the lust of the flesh. Someone who speaks smoothly has learned to tell the people what they want to hear. This is the work of the devil. Some take pride in the fact that they can hide their true feelings and deceive others. The devil will help you deceive others and keep you comfortable. Noah Webster in 1828 defined guile as craft, cunning, artifice, duplicity, deceit, usually in a bad sense. If you try to deceive others, you will also serve the devil and be in prison yourself through the lust of the flesh. In the book, The Kingdom of God Now, in chapter 7, on pages 85 and 86, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Few Christians examine themselves and admit that they are acting wickedly when they disregard God's commands. You can get into the habit of hearing the word of God and being convicted by the Holy Spirit, yet disregarding the word and continuing in sin. You know that you ought to repent and obey, but you disregard the word of God that applies to your daily life, because it isn't what you want to do. You may have been taught that there are no consequences as long as you say, 'Lord, I'm sorry for all the bad things I did all week.' Behaving like you are not convicted at the end of the sermon is also deceit. If really you were convicted, you need to confess your sins to God. If you believe your sins are not that bad, you may not be cleansed because you do not confess them. You have to confess your sins to God to be forgiven and cleansed." John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Number 3, hypocrisies. The word hypocrisies in Strong's is number 5272, which comes from another word, which means acting under a feigned part, that is, deceit again, condemnation, dissimulation, hypocrisy. Guile leads to hypocrisy. Hypocrites deceive themselves with a private interpretation of the written word and make rules so they can still do what they want. The devil will help those using their own mind to do what they want who do not love truth and conviction. Only the living word can change and transform your soul through conviction and repentance. You may complain later when you cannot hear the voice of the Lord, but God is not the problem. Stop deceiving yourself. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Number 4, envies. Envies in Strong's is number 5355. It's akin to another word which means jealousy, spite, or envy, ill will. Envies are grudges against God, envy or jealousy of any kind. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Any great saint has to be honest about what came from God and what comes from the flesh. Peter gave permission to include the mistakes he made following Christ in all the gospel records. He was the leader, but he did not want anyone to follow his vain attempts to follow Christ. He was honest with all the other apostles for them not to be deceived. All the apostles waiting for the Holy Spirit in the upper room had to confess they did not know what to do after Jesus was arrested. James said in James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. This is James chapter 5, starting in verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Verse 17. "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months." Verse 18. "And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Keep in mind that God rarely uses the wise. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. If you are offended, then it is no point at getting frustrated. Conviction is a blessing. You should be seeking God on how to apply the word and thanking God for that person if you are all puffed up with theories and have no fruit of holiness. In the book, The Kingdom of God Now, in chapter 7, on page 81, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "In the kingdom of God, you are known by your fruit. Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but rather he who does the will of the Father. Every child of God wants to be part of God's kingdom, but Jesus himself placed this condition on those who would enter the kingdom of heaven." Number 5, evil speaking or slander. Evil speaking in Strong's is number 2636. It comes from another word which means defamation, backbiting, or evil speaking. Backbiting others is letting the devil use you to destroy others. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." You will never stop sinning if you continue to slander others. The devil will say it's okay based on the knowledge of what is right and wrong. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says this, "Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense, your right minds, and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame." You do not have to be ignorant anymore on how to stop sinning. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." By denying yourself completely, you can stop feeding the flesh, and by letting the Holy Spirit control you, kill it. In the book, My Sheep and My Voice, 2021 version, in chapter 7 on page 82, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Many believers make an effort to walk in the message for a season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they are reluctant to give him full control." Joseph Hedgecott made a decision to do whatever the Holy Spirit commanded before hearing his command. He saw this was better than deciding from his own mind whether he was going to obey or not afterwards. Those who have not taken up their cross to follow Christ look for a technique so they can hear God's voice, but reserve the right to decide afterwards. As soon as you consult your reasoning and understanding, this gives life to the flesh again, and this will quench the spirit. As long as you are doing what the Spirit says instantly, you cannot sin. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Acts chapter 4. I'm reading verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter mentioned the cornerstone has to be set in place. To grow up spiritually, the devil does not want that to happen, because then he cannot control you. You will also do the same works as Jesus did and destroy his works. The cornerstone is made up of two stones that once set in place should not be moved. Number one, Jesus has to be your first love. Number two, Jesus becomes the functional Lord of your life. If the cornerstone is set right, walking with God is easy. Anything that contradicts this foundation can be rejected and removed through repentance. The Jews resisted the Lordship of Jesus Christ and perished. You have to accept his authority over your life and let him make the decisions. You are created in the likeness of God, and now, because of what Jesus has done, you belong to him. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church, which he has purchased with his own blood. The church belongs to Jesus. Leaders are only overseers. If Jesus is Lord, then you are ready to obey and keep his commands out of love, and you have the right attitude to him and his word. John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If he is not your first love, then you must love something else more than God, and this is idolatry. Through the milk of the word, you can easily establish him as Lord. If you have to understand everything first with your mind before you obey, then you are like Thomas. We read in John chapter 20, verse 29. This is John chapter 20 and verse 29. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, yet have believed. We need food to grow in the natural realm and also in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, our food is also conviction. In the natural realm, we can eat healthy or unhealthy. Some people try to eat healthy food, but you must be consistent. Modern food can be 90% good, but with preservatives that can have an adverse effect on your health. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. This is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Spiritual food must be the living word delivered fresh by the Holy Spirit. It should be a word in season. When God reveals a word through verses in the Bible or some other way, this is the living word, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness. It will bring conviction. The milk of the word includes sound teachings of Jesus that were passed on through the apostles and recorded in the gospels that brought conviction. Spiritual food must be pure and uncontaminated with human tradition to preserve it, and applied instantly through repentance. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul was telling Timothy to rely on the grace. Live like a soldier, obeying the commands of Jesus and denying himself daily. He was commanded to pass on the testimonies of Paul on the narrow way that others had benefited from, not theories and church doctrines. Timothy had to be an example too by enduring hardness, not just pass on grace without truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The hardest teaching for anyone to accept today is the functional lordship of Jesus. If you've only accepted Jesus as your Savior, sin will not stop. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul was busy serving and helping the other apostles from the start. He learned many lessons through serving, but made no excuses for missing God's plans. We are to use the grace of God to learn from our mistakes, and with grace and truth depart from iniquity. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. And if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The word purge in Strong's is number 1571. It comes from other words, which means cleanse thoroughly or purge out. Those who purge themselves first can be used in a position of high honor in his kingdom because they are not contaminated by the value system of the world. They can serve without complaining. They love others because they know they are loved. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus is the Word, and there is no ill will in his commands. But the Word cannot take root in those who have a divided heart. Jesus is Lord now, and this is good news for those who are on the narrow way. Jesus gave this explanation for the parable of the sower. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 10, and I'm reading to verse 20. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, I'm starting in verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. Verse 11. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Verse 12, That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13, And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Verse 17. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Jesus spoke about hypocrisy. Here are some definitions of hypocrites based on his teachings. Number one, a hypocrite is somebody who can see another person's sin, but not his own. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see thou clearly to cast out the mote out of their brother's eye." Those who are repenting do not have time to look at what others are doing. They are too busy working on their own sin. Not judging others will dramatically increase your ability to get to the root of your own sin. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." You are not authorized to compare yourself with others, as this will lead to sin. You should only compare yourself to Christ. Number two, someone who only worships God with his or her mouth, but does not walk in the truth, is a hypocrite. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8. I'm reading Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying," verse 8, "this people draws near unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me." Someone who searches the scriptures with their mind and thinks he has a relationship with God through just knowledge of scripture is deceived. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Number three, a hypocrite questions those preaching the truth and is full of malice instead. We read in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 18, "But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" Number four, a hypocrite is someone who stops those entering the kingdom of God by simple faith and trust in God's promises revealed in his word by the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Hypocrites encourage people to rely on academic learning and achievements instead of relying on the fruit of holiness. Number five, hypocrites are well-dressed all the time, look good on the outside, and emphasize ceremonial activities. Those who learn inward righteousness from their spirit do not develop excesses in unrighteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Jesus said that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you are hearing yourself talk without the reverential fear of God and speaking things that are always about the world, repent. Number 6, hypocrites use natural wisdom and do not understand the heart of God for everyone to use grace and truth and come to repentance. Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 56, "Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but now is it that you do not discern this time." If you want to hear and speak the truth, you have to let the Holy Spirit expose lies in you first and change. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit is speaking all the time. In my training, I was often told that I was talking when I should have been listening. James said in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. I'm reading James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Verse 20. "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." If you're getting angry, you are definitely not listening and are speaking too much. You will get frustrated trying to do something in the flesh. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. This is Hebrews chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 15. "For if not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In the kingdom of God, you cannot blame anyone else. You can be ready for the unexpected by the Holy Spirit, even in trials. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, "Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You easily overcome with a first round knockout through Christ. So you should not be getting in the flesh. Everything you need is in Christ. Some people think that God should do more, but we have such a great salvation. God loved us and sent his son to be a servant. Jesus is now Lord and in a place to help you in his kingdom, if you have a heart after God. But if you want to serve the flesh and do what you want, you will never be part of the kingdom of God. In the book, The Kingdom of God Now, in chapter 7, on page 81, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "We as Christians call Jesus Lord and say we want to live in his kingdom. Yet when he says to bow our knees to him and submit, we resist him. We profess that we want to spend eternity with the Lord. We praise him and tell lost people that Jesus is Lord. Yet when it's time for us to submit, we resist him. We look for excuses and try to justify our rebellion. But there is no getting around it. If you aren't bowing your knee on a daily basis to his lordship and acknowledging him in all your ways, you are in rebellion. It is as simple as that. You cannot cover it up or lie to yourself, but on the day of judgment, the hidden things of darkness will be brought to light." Getting angry because you're not growing will not help either, because the flesh cannot change itself. God is faithful to make sure that whatever you sow, you reap. If you do not listen to sound teaching, you will reap the consequence of sowing to the flesh. Stop sowing to the flesh and sow in the Spirit. If you keep sowing to the Spirit, the consequences of sin will stop. Do not wait for the consequences of sin to stop. In faith, start sowing in the Spirit and you will reap eternal life and get to know him. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading the book of Galatians, chapter 6, starting verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. No one plants the seed and reaps the crop the next day. However, as we get closer to the judgment day, a time will come when those who sow to the flesh will reap the consequences of sin much quicker, until it's instant. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap the rewards quicker as grace increases too. Through repentance, you can stop sinning ignorantly and reaping the consequences of sin too. God can cancel the crop before it comes in if we repent. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 21, wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Meekness in Strong's is number 2242. It comes from another word which means mildness, that is humility or meekness. Your soul needs to be transformed, and this depends on you being meek. Noah Webster in 1828 defined meek as mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding and given to forbearance under injuries. God can make changes in you when you are meek. The more you resist, the longer it takes. God is willing to make the changes. He will send the right people, and God will use some strange and challenging situations. We read in Numbers 12 and verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses left Egypt for 40 years and gave up the comforts he could have had easily as a prince. All he had to do was tell lies about murdering someone and submit to Pharaoh, and then he would have had all the comforts of royalty. You cannot have meekness if you are ready to tell lies just to have friendship with the world and get what you want instead. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Through meekness, your foundations can be strengthened even when others rub you the wrong way or take advantage of you. This is a stepping stone in developing God's character. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Not killing the flesh means you will lose your reward, because your personality is still carnal, and you'll be left behind when Jesus comes. Your soul will perish if you do not repent. Only things in conformity to his will, in thought, purpose, and actions, can make it to the kingdom of God. He is willing to make all the right decisions and develop his godly character in you. As you submit to his control, your soul will be changed. You will stop getting angry, reacting, and respond to situations in love. People will notice the difference. Trying harder cannot cause any lasting change, but complete surrender and obedience to the Holy Spirit will give you the power to change and overcome. Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 13, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Holy Spirit is now the telephone line which is connecting your human spirit to the mind and heart of God. All decisions using your reasoning and understanding without conviction come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You do need to be meek to get his wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge from the wrong tree looks good, but it's like fast food. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." If you are born again, yielding to the flesh, this will set off an alarm. Conviction comes through the Holy Spirit to protect you from lies. He loves you, and the Holy Spirit in you will now grieve if you resist. If you do not repent, your heart will harden. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption." You are ready for the day of redemption if you listen to the chastening that comes through the Holy Spirit and repent regularly. If you continue to grieve him all the time, you will not be ready. The day of redemption is either when you die or when he appears. On that day when he appears, you need to be in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person who reveals sin daily and is there to help you work out your salvation and repent at the root. The Holy Spirit is divine nature living in us. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. If you cannot obey the Spirit of Christ now, then how will you obey Christ and be part of Jesus' government when he appears? Do not deceive yourself. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, but you also need to obey him and stop consulting your mind. You need the power to kill the flesh first. Power without control or purpose is an explosive device. Power without direction and purpose will do damage. How can you be filled when you are still carnal? First, rid yourself of all your good and bad ideas and become like a little child so that you can make room for the mind of Christ. If you study the Bible by using your mind, you will end up being deceived. Remember, the devil has access to the carnal mind, and you are no match for the devil. You need to let the Holy Spirit combine and connect Scripture and give his explanation to you personally. God does not use the wise in this world to expose the wickedness of man. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. I had to become a fool for Jesus before God could use me for greater things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." You might justify using your own understanding because in the natural realm you can have some worldly success, but this world is passing away. If you're studying the written word, you must have no opinion and your mind should be still so that God can direct you to what he wants to say and teach you first. We all have to go back to the milk of the word and check the basics that are part of the foundation. You will get fat if you just take spiritual milk and do not apply the word to. James said in James chapter 1 verses 22 to 24. I'm reading James chapter 1 starting verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself and goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." Normally the food we eat has to be chewed and digested, but the basic truths are like milk and do not need to be chewed. The word does not come without correction and conviction, so you need to be meek. Those who are wise in their own minds cannot receive the milk of God's word, and it appears foolish to them. Make sure your mind is not full of malice and guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Carnal Christians prefer arguments and debates without any conviction. The best referral for any teaching is the fruit of repentance that follows. The Corinthians had experienced the correction of Paul through his first letter. He said to them that at that time, when they should have been teachers, they were still babes. They should have been far ahead with many seminars, but they were not feeding off the living word. However, there was a transformation that came through repentance. After they were corrected, the milk of the word produces change. Paul explained the difference between what we call the living word and the written word. We read in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The milk of God's word brings life through repentance. So if you're not repenting, then you are still babes in Christ. Those abiding in his presence keep changing through repentance, or otherwise they come out. You only have grace to be what he has decided. Freedom from sin is maintained by submitting to him and his plan. He is the living word. He is Lord too. So he has provided everything that's necessary for you to become who you're supposed to be. There is no fast track for spiritual leaders who do not do their basic to grow through conviction. In the kingdom, everyone who wants to be the greatest has to be the servant of all. You are determining your position in the kingdom now. Being humble does not mean you'll be trodden upon. You will develop new strengths that others will be jealous of later when they see you can handle pressure and not give in to sin and temptation. Those just using their talents and strengths will feed the flesh and make their soul weak, shallow, and empty inside. In the kingdom of God, you can feed off his pure revelation if you're ready to be convicted and repent. Truth is what makes some carnal Christians choke. But you should not have a problem choking on the milk of God's word if you have a love for the truth. Jesus said you need to be like a little child and hungry for righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want more, you have to walk in the light you have and let the word of God expose in you what he wants, and then you apply it through repentance. This is part of faithfulness too. Then you will get more conviction and correction is a reward on this earth for spiritual growth and repentance. Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. The book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecott, contains the milk of his word, and is full of truth. You'll get a taste for spiritual truth taken from over 300 verses. Hearing God clearly is not just for mature saints, or those with a high calling on their lives, but for every child of God. You will feel conviction as you read its pages. The book My Sheep and My Voice by Joseph Hedgecott is a great way to start, because as you walk with him, you need regular conviction. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way and sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom from sin through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecott. If you want to grow up on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience freedom from sin, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecott. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works. where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth at any time and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to know what God is saying to you at any moment in time and be faithful to that word. This is why we have the Spirit. Start with conviction. As you respond to that conviction, you're responding to the heart of God for His love for you. And that milk that you need is the first thing that you take when you're just born again. You're hearing from the living God, and it's His grace to help you at this time when it's so easy to be contaminated by the world's values and the love of the world. Please open your heart to conviction. It's so valuable. And it will protect you from anything that's coming that this world can throw at you. As you begin to just repent fully. Remember, repentance is not just saying you're sorry. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And He is going to help you feed on that milk and get the best you can out of it. Let me pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, for everyone who's heard these words in this message today, I'm praying for them that they will continue in Your word, will not forget what's been laid in them, and that they will remember the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who submitted Himself completely to Your will for Him. And Father, I pray that everyone who's listening to this message will deny themselves and take up their cross and follow You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You will find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or on a link via our website. Our contact details will follow. We'd love to hear from you. And hope that this message has really touched your heart. In Jesus' name, God bless you.